This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Sick Blues.
Where'd you go this week?
Airing every day from noon to 3.
Mason Ramsey sticks to his roots, okay? He's not the kind of guy. He's not going Taylor Swift on
it. Yeah, that's exactly what his new single sounds like.
Well, he's trying to branch out.
Well, that's fine. He didn't stay to his roots. He branched out immediately. The first chance he got, he branched out.
On 1340 WKGN.
Did you hear how quick that happened, Ben Lee? He stuck to his roots and he branched out in the same sentence.
You can stick to your roots and still branch out. That's what trees do. I mean, that's what trees do.
Hour 3 kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hit us with some Hour 3 headlines, Robin.
Well, as any interesting, I guess, rumor, story, just kind of drama going on, you know, eventually it's going to be turned into a Netflix series, right? I mean, that's just...
It's typically how it goes.
Typically how it goes, right? We got Britney Spears and her conservatorship. They had a Netflix trailer come out as they will be just breaking down the whole Britney Spears situation, as it's called Britney versus Spears. It'll premiere September 28th. John, you're honestly probably the biggest Britney Spears fan that I know of.
You don't have any women in your life?
Nobody's really talking about Britney Spears, man.
What? Do you have any women in your life?
Girls my age? Girls my age, you think, are really, really, really into Britney Spears?
Are you too young for Britney?
I mean, they are too.
A little young for Britney, yeah.
They are probably a little too young for Britney.
I mean, what was her prime? Like, just her prime, her peak. Was her peak?
Early, did she ever come
2000,
down?
What, 3, 4, 5? Somewhere in there?
It's a good question on when her actual prime was.
When'd she have her, like, meltdown? What, like, 2007, kind of, 8?
Yeah, like, 07's when her and Federline, like, divorced. So, like,
okay.
I'd imagine, like, things were going off the rails for her right there in 2008, 2009. Like, I don't know when the Leave Britney Alone video came out, but, like, yeah. That's a good question. When was Britney, what would you consider Britney's prime?
I don't know.
Was it just the first CD? The second CD? Was it Circus? Circus came out in 2008.
Circus was banger.
Everybody on me, all eyes on me, and it sounded like a circus.
Mm. It had Womanizer on it as well.
Yeah, that was a...
If You
one.
Seek Amy.
Yeah.
What year was this?
08.
08.
It's her sixth album. Mm. My poor mom had to... Remember my sister's in there singing that song. I had to slow him down and... let her know what was getting polluted on the popular radio stations. Because 08 was about the time I was in trouble for listening to rap all the time and all my vulgar music. I was like, well, listen to what you listen to your little pop channel there, Mom. What do you think Rihanna's saying when she says, rude boy, can you get it up, huh? What do you think she's talking about? If You Seek Amy, Mom, slow it down. What does it mean? Oh, really? Okay. That's a good question. When was Britney's prime? I don't know.
I guess you can find out in this Netflix series, I guess.
I guess,
huh?
That's one of the tests. If she doesn't know Britney Spears, she's too young for you, bro. Maybe not for you, Draven, but for Cam and myself.
We love some Britney.
Really?
She's too young for you, bro.
You guys both Britney guys?
Oh, yeah. I own the Circus album. Jeez.
Never really liked her. I don't even really... Like, what's her most popular song?
How many Britney Spears songs can you name?
I'm sending over other. Like,
I feel like
three.
There's a really popular.
I'm sending
one.
Like three.
Surely to God, he could do more than three.
I don't think I can name one right now, man.
You can't name one?
My mind's going blank. Okay, I don't care
blank.
About Britney Spears.
I even from
we
before
even
your...
named one in this segment, and you can't name one?
Yeah, something Amy. I don't know.
You named like three in the segment.
I was barely listening. I don't really care. I mean, don't really care. This is more for you guys.
Well, I understand it's
before my time.
I understand that, but like, can you name any Madonna songs? Well, I can, and she was before my time, but I mean, you claim to be this pop culture music guy, and this is really, it blows my
don't
mind.
I don't think I do. I don't think I do.
You about your music, taste, and knowledge all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah,
all the time.
Because I listen to some of the more underground artists.
Oh, like Drake.
Drake, yeah.
Okay, I mentioned
about.
I like two songs on Drake.
I stay just in the underground. You might have heard of him, Drake.
I mentioned I like two songs on Drake's new album. That's
the
it.
Underground.
And then
name
you guys,
some of your underground artists that you like.
You wouldn't know them.
Yeah, name them. I want to hear them. Who are your underground artists? He doesn't have any underground artists. What are you talking about?
I got to go look up my playlist. I don't know the top of the head.
This is 21 Savage. Ever heard of him? This is pitiful. You can't name one Britney Spears song?
Wait, let me think. Let me think for a second.
Oh, my gosh. This may be the worst thing I've ever seen.
She got the song Hit Me, Baby, One More Time.
Mm-hmm. She does.
I don't know the name of the song. I don't know names
of
songs.
Baby,
is it Hit Me Baby One More Time?
Yeah.
Hit Me Baby One More Time. Da, da, da.
Two more? You got two more?
That's a good song. That's a good song. Other than that, no, that's it. That's all I got.
Oh, my gosh.
What are you oh, my gosh and over
no,
there,
that's
Cam?
Crazy. I don't
like
know.
I'm supposed to be
just,
some big Britney fan.
Britney's an icon.
I bet a lot of people listening right now could also
no.
not name
no, I guarantee
more
you.
Than
everybody
two,
else listening can name more than one Britney
songs.
Spears song.
Okay, we'll see.
I guarantee you.
I didn't realize I was. I knew John was a big Britney fan. I didn't realize I had the two biggest Britney Spears fans in the world.
Watch
you guys
the,
just
watch,
throwing
watch
off
the
on me.
Watch the documentary. We don't even rank anywhere in the top 50% of Britney Spears fans,
yeah.
bro.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
What is her most famous song?
Hit Me, Baby.
I don't know if it is.
What's the number
if
one? On,
the
what's the number
Spotify
one on Spotify? It Hit Me, Baby does.
No, that doesn't. 21 million listeners per month, so she's still holding it down. On her popular number one is Toxic with 632 million
plays. That probably is her most popular song.
Sing
and
it.
Then,
I don't know it. Oh, yeah, I know that.
Your toxic comes slipping on.
Yeah. I did it again. Yeah.
I'm a
I know that.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you the name of that song.
What did you think the name of the song would be?
Sometimes they have more creative titles than just the
not
main.
Not usually a pop, yeah.
You might be right on that one.
Anyways, any other headlines?
Yes, I have plenty of headlines. Please, you guys excited about the Netflix series, by the way? You guys going to go watch it?
I watched the other documentaries they did. They did two last year. I watched both of them.
Both on Britney?
Yeah, like Hulu did one and Netflix did one. That's the thing about these documentaries. Usually like both streaming sites will do one. It might have been either, actually. It might have been Apple. I don't even remember Amazon. I watched whatever it was.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting story, but I feel like it's played out. Like, I don't really want to like know too much more about it. It's kind of sad.
Yeah,
they did enough to make me feel bad about how he treated her. To be honest, like that was my big takeaway from the Britney Spears docs and the court case and everything. It was like, man, we did not give one damn about mental health in like the late 2000s. Like we claim we do now, but like we didn't then. That woman was going through tragedy, and we just piled on and sent her into a nervous breakdown that she's, you know, has been fighting with a decade for the last decade.
Just now,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
much.
I mean, since from 2008, 2009, all the way to 2021, so like 12 years of her life just kind of stolen.
It's tough.
And I mean, really, I mean, there's whole other studies that do on it too in terms of how. She was a child star as well. I mean, she's been Mickey Mouse Club was a celebrity when she's like 9 or 10. How the paparazzi treated her, like not even the paparazzi, like Matt Lauer and like all Diane Sawyer. I think it was Katie Couric actually. It was like,
well, they just
sort of like her sex life from when she was like a 17, 18-year-old kid. And there's a whole other wrinkle to it about Justin Timberlake and how like the media like kind of sided with the man and kind of helped, you know, launch his career while ruining her. There's a whole. It's fascinating.
I'll have to watch the documentary.
I think we'll study it over the next 30 years. I think it'll be something that we like will be taught a lot in like psychology classes in college moving forward.
About what? Just
pressures of media, pressures of fame, pressures of, mostly the pressures of media and how like media like coverage can
manipulation.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, yeah, all of that.
It is crazy.
Getting their headlines.
I do. Let's go to the NBA. NBA right around the corner, huh? We got what, training camp coming up?
Soon, next week.
Next week, yeah. Getting excited. We had some pretty big headlines in the NBA. We had, what, the Timberwolves, president of basketball operations, kind of just a out of nowhere, having to step down from that position.
And then it turned out he was having sex with the woman that was working for him.
He was indeed. Of course, all the people from the Timberwolves were like, oh, yeah, the decision was made for performance reasons, all that. And then, yeah, you pretty much had all the other rumors and stuff like that, like you mentioned, that, bad stuff going on behind the scenes there. So he's out. Probably no surprise there. It's interesting. Carl Anthony Towns, I guess, really liked this guy, too, because he was tweeting, like, mad about the whole situation.
Did he send anything other than like the WTF ...
That's the only thing I saw.
Okay.
I'm gonna check out his Twitter.
I understood him being confused because the timing is like 1 week before the season.
Right.
Like kind of get started, so the timing's weird, but
for an already dysfunctional organization.
So you know, the ownership had just changed. So some people are like, hey, I guess A-Rod and his, you know, partner wanted to get someone else in there. It's not like they won 42 games the last 2 years while he's been there, so it's not like he's done anything.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, I'd imagine Carl Anthony Towns can't be upset now whenever he realizes, like, oh, there's a bunch of sex stuff going on behind the scenes.
Right. I haven't seen him tweet anything else other than that WTF dot dot. So
the NBA draft, it's tough, man. Yeah. Like, every year around the draft, we talk about how, like, yeah, maybe the draft, we should get rid of it.
What do you mean, get rid of the NBA draft?
And just go with, like, a rookie salary pool, maybe? Like, a team gets X amount of dollars to spend on a rookie, and then that way there's at least some choice for these players. Because, I mean, it is unfair for Carl Anthony Towns to be stuck in Minnesota for 7 years.
Come on, man. Come on.
For 7 years,
what do you
at
want
least.
Him to do? Go, everybody go to the same teams
well,
and
that's
have
why you give him a pool.
The Lakers and the Celtics or whoever that's dominating?
That's why you give them a pool of money.
Well, then these teams at the bottom, like Minnesota, Sacramento, all these teams would never—they would never come. They would never have anything. They would never come about.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that because Minnesota and Sacramento have been picking at the top of the draft the last 20 years. How good have they been the last 20 years?
I mean, Minnesota at least made a playoffs.
One. Mm-hmm. Since Garnett left in 2003, they've made the playoffs once. Sacramento's made the playoffs zero times. So yes, you're right. It's obviously working for these bad franchises that.
Well, it's going to be even worse. These teams would literally.
It can't get worse. It can't get worse if you're Sacramento and Minnesota. Like literally, Sacramento hasn't made the playoffs in 20 years.
I mean, how is this going to fix it though? How would this fix anything?
I mean, you could theoretically spend if you're Minnesota or Sacramento. What would be better, having one star that? Or having, you know, if you take your $30 million pool or whatever and sign like 4 or 5 good rookies. And maybe
well,
that.
That's – no, nobody would want to watch Minnesota. At least Minnesota has some exciting
no
cat.
Watches, no one watches
cat
Minnesota.
Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards dunking on people.
No one watches.
They got something.
No one watches
they got
them.
Something.
No one watches them.
Four
Cleveland,
or five
Cleveland's
okay
been,
rookies. That sounds like a horrible
I'm
idea. That sounds like a horrible
round,
team.
I'm saying to round out a roster. They've been horrible with Carl Anthony Towns. And if you look at it from the player's perspective, Carl Anthony Towns – has been stuck in Minnesota for 7 years. Look what happened to DeMarcus Cousins in Sacramento being stuck there.
And he was a jerk, too. He was a lot nicer when he left Sacramento.
Well, and then his career was over. And, like,
yeah,
you know, he could have been maybe an all-time great. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins was really, really good, and he was stuck in a dysfunctional franchise, and there was nothing he could do. And you know what happens when they do force their way out? People like Draven get on the radio or on the internet and call them jerks and divas and talk about, you're giving up on your team, man. You got to play out your contract.
What if I've never said that. I'm a pretty pro player myself.
You just went about Ben Simmons not being professional.
Because the way he's handling it.
That's what
demand a trade, but still show up to camp.
Why?
Sir, I would like a trade. No. Okay, well, I tried.
I'll go back in.
I tried. I requested a trade. They told me no.
At least James Harden was going.
He showed up 20 pounds overweight.
No, he did. He was faking it.
He had a fat suit on. It's even worse. And like
I'm
with
just
James,
saying.
And with James Harden, I had more of a problem with James Harden simply because James Harden like was in year 9 or 10 of his career. He could have left. Like he signed a free agency deal there. Ben Simmons didn't really have a choice because like they
Not only do you get drafted there, then there's a second contract. You're a restricted free agent, so the team can keep you an extra 4 years, even if you don't want to stay.
Ben Simmons is a lot different as well.
He's
been on good teams. He's had Embiid.
Okay, hold on. He has been on good teams, but let's not act like when he got drafted there, they were a good team. They were tanking
for
3 years.
But they've been a playoff team the last 3 years.
It's not
the team's fault that they're coming up short. A lot of people are blaming Ben Simmons, which is a completely different situation. Nobody's blaming Karl Anthony Towns because Minnesota can't do anything.
Oh, you're wrong about that. The narrative around Karl Anthony Towns was completely that he is soft, a baby. I mean, Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, when they had talent. I don't know about now. No. People aren't saying now they're bad because Anthony Towns.
Karl Anthony Towns is getting the same treatment that DeMarcus Cousins was in terms of big man who can't win, that's soft, doesn't equal winning, can't be a leader on a team. Same thing they did to DeMarcus Cousins.
I don't know if Boogie Cousins was getting called soft when he's bullying
he's
people.
A baby.
I was going to say maybe.
Mentally soft.
Right.
Whereas if he gets drafted by, any other franchise, it's more stable. If he gets drafted by Tim Duncan or, alongside Tim Duncan with the Spurs or whatever, maybe DeMarcus Cousins' career goes different. Maybe Karl Anthony Towns goes different. Again, I just say we always talk about how unfair the NBA draft is whenever it comes around, and I feel bad for poor Karl Anthony Towns, who's just had a completely unstable
I think they should get rid of the whole lottery thing. Get rid of the lottery system.
And then just the worst records?
Yeah, just the worst record. Just like the NFL.
That would just
What would that do?
It would just lead to
teams tanking? They don't already do that?
Well, they don't as much whenever we started rounding up the odds. And the top three get this. No, you haven't seen as much
tanking. You have the increased playoff spots, so there would be those teams. There's going to be the two bottom four teams are going to be tanking anyways.
But not as bad as they would if they were. If there's no real difference between fifth and first, like there is now, you're not going to tank as much. If the number one pick was slotted to worst record, you'd have teams punting the whole season and going.
They don't already do that.
They don't do it as much. There's only been one team that punted the whole season. That was the Sixers
Rockets.
That won seven games that year.
The Rockets this past year. Once Harden was out, they
didn't take the whole season.
They tanked. They tanked.
James Harden wouldn't have played one game for them, though, if it was that situation.
Yeah. Either way. Another quick NBA headline before we move on. Warriors, did you see the report? They're having serious concerns about Andrew Wiggins due to local COVID-19 mandates because he has declined getting the vaccine.
He
won't receive it unless he is forced to.
And right now in California, you can't play basketball unless you have the vaccine. They're not forcing it, so he's like, I'm not getting it.
So what do you do? Who breaks first in this situation? Andrew Wiggins or the Warriors just say, maybe we should just trade Wiggins?
I mean, the Warriors would love to trade Wiggins, I would say, but
nobody wants him.
I mean, they just don't want to give him away. Maybe it puts them under more pressure to trade him to Philadelphia, though.
Better than him not playing at all just because he won't get the vaccine.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cam, you got this or that topics, or you need another segment?
One more segment.
All right, let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, Draven, what do you want to talk about before this or that?
Can we talk about a little Lane Kiffin, Nick Saban?
Go ahead.
A little back and forth. Did you see what Kiffin had to say?
About what? Just about how basically Alabama has free agency?
Yeah. Basically, they get to draft the best players, and they go into free agency and take players as well. Take the best players.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah. Just talking about the transfer portal. I believe he brought up former Tennessee linebacker Henry Toa, which, by the way, he starts, which I thought was cool and all, but he didn't really look that good out there. Kind of looked maybe similar that he did at UT, to be honest, just – kind of pouring
no,
cover.
No, he stinks.
Yeah, I was going to say he's pouring coverage. Just...
I don't want to say he stinks. That's too harsh. He jumps off the page in terms of not belonging in the Alabama hierarchy of linebackers.
Yeah. Which, I mean, he's starting, so
he's good.
Give him credit.
Well, usually he's even good at run stopping. He wasn't on Saturday.
No.
But, I mean, Lane Kiffin isn't wrong. Alabama's going to be able to get whoever they want. Transfer a while. It's they will be able to, plug most holes. Now, Lane Kiffin, I feel like Lane Kiffin's done this. He did it at FAU. He took all those cast-offs from, UCLA and Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. They've been, kicked off their team and put them down there at a lower level and tried to, piece it together.
And, you know, even at Ole Miss, he's taken – he took that one guy from Georgia last year, right, the safety. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he, you know, how many other people he's gotten or whatever, but he's doing it as well. He's just prodding at Nick Saban.
Is this just him, like – I feel like he's just trying to create this whole, like, I'm the good guy, Saban's a bad guy, like trying to just get people on his side, trying to create this whole – I don't know.
I don't think does he have to do that? I mean, I feel like Alabama's the bad guy in college football simply because they
are
the sport.
But he is one of the, I feel like, the few coaches that kind of acknowledges it and talks about it a little bit, like, well, his comments here.
I mean, we've had the conversation before, like, there just aren't a lot of personalities in college football right now, so Kiffin has stood out for a long time just because he somewhat has one.
Yeah. And is he the biggest personality in college football? I mean, like,
he has to be, right? I mean,
just the Twitter stuff, all
Leach has kind of calmed down.
Yeah, you don't hear any of the crazy quotes out of him or anything like that.
Right, I mean, he kind of started getting into some weird territory that, you know, politically, that they're just kind of like, hey, pump the brakes, big guy. Like, yeah, let's not be doing this. He got more focused on that type of stuff. And, like, you know, that's pretty much it. Yeah. So, like, I mean, I think Kiffin has been the biggest personality just by default. I mean,
yeah.
Orgeron had it for a little bit simply because of the way he talked, and they were really good, but okay. No one's really talked about it.
Saban, basically, I guess he got asked in a press conference earlier today about it, and he said, quote, did any of you play sports? I mean, the coach is supposed to play the best players, right?
What is that in reference to?
I guess Kiffin's comments about just going and getting the best players.
Surely that's not what that's about. Surely it's not that simple. I mean, maybe it is.
Yeah.
Surely, I would think they were talking about somebody on the depth chart. I don't know, but I mean, you are supposed to try to build your best team ever, or the best team you can, and then play them. So I don't necessarily disagree with that.
Well, the tweet says best not come at Nick Saban. I guess essentially talking about Kiffin kind of coming at Nick Saban. So,
well, I mean, that next week is probably the most anticipated game for me in the season. Like, Georgia Clemson was before, but, like, after that, like, in terms of what we're looking at, I'm kind of looking forward to Ole Miss versus Alabama more than any other game this season.
It's really crazy he's done this in, what, a year? Right? A year that he's basically put Ole Miss on the map and made them this kind of program to where we're getting excited about them. Like, we feel like, I don't know if, by you, but I feel like maybe Ole Miss has the best shot at beating Alabama after 1 year.
Jeez. It is wild. I mean, like, you know, there have been some – it does make it more frustrating to see, like, you know, with Heupel and realizing, like, hey, they're going to try to sell you for 3 years to be patient when you've seen Sam Pittman do what he's done at Arkansas, where he has a pretty big game this weekend against Texas A&M, and they're already ranked number 16 and have a win over a top 15 team. You see Mel Tucker up at Michigan State at least getting some quality road wins against Miami. We can argue about how good Miami is. I don't really care to, but it's a big win against a ranked team on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see Lane Kiffin, again, who in year two at Ole Miss, who isn't, you know, none of those teams I mentioned were loaded by any means. I don't know if they were in as bad a situation as Tennessee or whatever. But, you know, the excitement at Ole Miss right now is real, it's palpable, and they might have the best shot of anybody on the schedule to beat Alabama in year two.
It's kind of frustrating.
I mean, it has to be frustrating, and it is. It's kind of what I was getting at yesterday in terms of when I was, you know, kind of criticizing Danny White for his ticket policy and talking about how much he loves the tickets and how many we need to sell. Like, there are coaches out there who can provide some excitement and maybe get you turned around in 2 years, and I don't think anybody thinks that's Josh Heupel. You disagree with that?
I guess not. I guess not. See, he does this weekend, though. Could turn that all around. Could be saying something completely different Monday.
For sure. No,
it could be.
You are 100% correct. You are 100% correct. If Josh Heupel puts on a good performance or beats Florida, you will have people looking into it and ready to go,
you know, for the rest of the season and feel good about the future. 100%.
Yep.
If they don't cover, they don't look prepared, and they go down there again and have a bunch of penalties, and the quarterback situation is still bad, it's going to go the opposite.
Big game. Big game.
It is, and it's not.
Yeah.
And apparently he was talking about his tight end at the press conference. Appreciate Vol Storm for tweeting that in. I guess somebody had been asking about Jahil Billingsley. I don't know who Jahil Billingsley is other than just a tight end in Alabama. I'm sure he's a highly rated guy, but he was mad that basically people were asking if he is going to play or whatever. And he's like, he's trying to practice and he's coming in, but we're playing our best players essentially. So I didn't think it was about Kiffin.
Okay.
That's going to do big numbers next week, though. Kiffin versus Saban.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Week one was fun, or year one was fun. Year two, I mean, I don't know what that spread's going to be. I'd imagine Alabama's still going to be a 14-point favorite, or at least an 11-point favorite, maybe.
I mean, Ole Miss, where they ain't ranked right now? I mean, they could be, what, top 10, maybe?
They're top 15, right? I mean, yeah. They come in like, are they 13th, I want to say, maybe? Is that it?
Let's see.
You're so bad at the end.
College football rankings.
They're ranked 13th in the AP and 13th in the coaches poll.
Gotcha.
I don't know if anybody's going to fall. I mean, like, I guess Florida's going to drop a couple spots after Tennessee beats them.
Yep.
Texas A&M might get beat by Arkansas, though maybe Arkansas would hop over Ole Miss. So I don't know if they'll be top 10 or not, but it'll be a top 15 matchup.
Yep.
Cam, you got your this or that topics?
I do.
What do you got for us?
All right.
Cam, I don't want to play. You're not going to treat me fair, Cam.
I mean, that's obvious at this point. The trivia. Do I need to bring up trivia again this week, Cam?
Can I give the topics right
now? Yeah, whatever, sure.
Better tailgate game, beer pong, flip cup.
Okay.
Beer pong or flip cup.
Would you rather have to compete the Ironman triathlon?
What is that?
Look it up during the break.
Or climb Mount Everest.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And then never be able to use cups again, or never be able to use plates again.
All right. We'll play some this or that after the break. Stick with us.
Right. Who's ready to play some this or that?
I'm ready to play this or that. I'm excited for it. Draven, let's go.
All joking aside, can we just make this as fair as possible? Can we just kind of, no bias, nothing like that?
That's
just
true.
Just one time. That's all I want. All right. Let's roll.
All right. Yeah. Well, first topic we have, better tailgate game, beer pong or flip cup?
Go ahead.
Oh, you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead. We won last game. We won like the last 20 games, but yeah, go ahead.
Give me flip cup as a tailgate game. It's better for both sexes. More people can play. There's enough competition in it. You drink more. And you don't have to worry about, like, chasing little balls around and losing them or someone stepping on them. There's nothing worse than a beer pong game getting ended by someone accidentally stepping on the ball or having it run around and you lose it. It's going under cars. We're at a tailgate, right? So maybe we're in the parking lot. It's running under somebody's car. It's a runaway ping pong ball. Terrible feeling. Flip cup can get more people involved. Usually beer pong is maxed out at four people, right? Maybe some people are playing three or four man per team. I've never played it. I've done 2v2 my whole life, or 1v1 sometimes. Flip cup, you can get as many people as you want. Imagine a 10-person flip cup battle, a 20-person flip cup battle. You can do it. It's fun. You get drunker that way. My worst days sometimes have been with flip cup, drinking a little too much. But we're just pregame. We're trying to get wild. We're trying to get that way. Give me flip cup.
Cam, I am, as you are too, just by, you know, knowing how you operate, I feel like we're both very competitive. We're both very competitive, right? Just even the little things, even if it's a video game, even if it's dodgeball, even if it's just in here arguing about something, we're very competitive. Flip cup has no competition really whatsoever to me. It's a lot about just luck. Like you said, everybody can get involved. Anybody can get involved, which makes it a little bit less serious of a sport. Makes it a little bit, I don't want to say less fun, but it can also be frustrating. Also, it gets a lot more heated. You got people yelling at each other sometimes if they're not doing it quick enough because you got to wait on the next person to go. You got to wait on them, all that. Sometimes it can cause a lot of uh, a lot of anger, especially when you're drinking a little bit too. Beer pong, it's just you. It's your best partner. You get to pick your mate. And flip cup, who knows who could be on your team. You're just kind of mixing and matching. Beer pong, you get to pick your mate. You get to pick your partner, somebody you trust. And it's a lot more competitive. It's a lot more just fun. In my opinion, again, flipping a cup is just pure luck.
There's nothing else involved into it. That is
beer
not
pong
true.
Is accuracy, it's strategy, what cup you're going for next, the island, bouncing it when you bounce it, doing different opportunities, keeping an eye on the ball. A lot more fun, a lot more competitive. And again, flip cup, anybody can play. Beer pong, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I feel like I'm pretty good at beer pong. And I love a competitive beer pong game, coming down to the end, coming down to the wire, catching fire at the end, right at the end. Oh, it's starting to heat up a little bit, just draining shot after shot. The final cup versus the final cup, 1v1, just going back and forth.
That's when people end up fighting and challenging each other to real basketball games, and they end up in fights. And by the way, let's get to another crucial point, I think, that's important. Again, we're at a tailgate, and we've got different people coming in and whatnot. Everyone plays beer pong differently. There's different rules, so you're going to be arguing to get down to the bottom. I hate it when I'm at the end of beer pong and there's three cups versus one. You make it, and they're like, okay, redemption. And I'm like, okay, that means you got to make all of them. They're like, no, I just got to make one of the three cups. I'm like, no, that's not it. You got to be able to go all the way out because I'm out, and then they argue about that. House rules.
That's how you play?
That's the way to play. If I'm beating you five cups to zero, you don't just get to make one of your five and extend the game. You got to make all five of them because I got all my 10 cups gone. See, exactly.
That's how I play.
Guys like Draven is why I cannot play beer pong with people out there. And again, is there anything worse than a beer pong game where you get down to the end and either person can make it and you just keep going for an extra 10
rounds? That's what makes it fun. That's what makes it intriguing.
Terrible.
It's just back and forth. Yeah, no,
flip
back
cup,
and forth.
Cam, flip cup is pretty much guaranteed. Pretty much now. I'd have some friends, shout out to Tommy who's listening, who's not very good at flip cup. That's like taking like 10 times to flip it. So those games maybe go like 45 seconds versus a good 30 seconds in and out. You can do multiple rounds. You can do best of seven. That's when you get really good at going, Cam. You have a best of seven series. You got two equal teams going back and forth. You go all the way down the line of who's the anchor. You get people fired up. And for him to say there's no skill, there's a lot of skill in flipping a cup. It's probably more skillful than trying to throw a ping pong ball into 10
that
cups.
Come on, Cam. You know that is not true. Flipping a cup, you just said anybody can play because there's just nothing involved.
Anyone can play. It doesn't mean anyone can be good at it. Anyone can play beer pong as well. Walk up. Throw the ball.
Some people are really bad at beer pong, though. You know this.
That is fun. 100%.
I love a good competitive game. Again, there's just not that much competition in Flip Cup. There's not. Yeah, it's fun. It's a little goofy,
a team competition versus a 1v1 competition. You're staring at the person across from you, and I'm going to beat you. That's only my goal. Beat you.
And you still lose. You can still end up losing because you have Jimmy over here, who'd you say, your buddy Tom, who can't flip a cup.
That's the thing about being on a team.
It sucks.
And again,
I'd rather be my best guy, who I handpicked, to come win this.
We're at a tailgate, which means we got a bunch of people. We're getting more people involved. More people are getting to play. You're able to have bigger teams. There's no competition.
Cam, there's nothing better than running a ping pong or a beer pong table. Is there not, though?
There's nothing better.
You're just dominating. You're winning game after game. Everybody's watching you. They're like, man, look at these guys go. Flip cup's not the same. It's just not the same. It's not. It's more about the team. It's more about just having a good time. I'm competitive. I want to win. Give me some beer pong. Man, I'm really good at beer pong, too.
Everyone says they're good at beer pong.
I'm really good, though. I bet I'd wipe the floor with you. Go ahead. Give John the point.
Well, the point is going to John on this one.
Draven already knew.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Wow.
Draven knew.
Oh, yeah. After 100 times of doing this, yeah, I know how this game works. I'm starting to finally learn how this game works.
You gave the point yourself.
Move on. Next one.
Wasn't even close. Blowout. That might be the biggest blowout we've had on here.
That is not true. A lot of people would love beer pong.
All right. Would you rather
flip cups
climb Mount Everest or do the Ironman Triathlon?
All right, so the Ironman Triathlon is, what, 112 miles on a bike, which sounds absolutely dreadful. There's a few things I would rather do than – or a few things I would prefer. What I'm trying to say is I don't want to ride a damn bike for
112 miles on a bike.
And then you're swimming, you're wet, and then you're running. So
2.4 miles.
Exhaustion, all those things. And for what?
26.2-mile run.
At the end of it, what do you get to say? That you're one of the 2 million people each year that finish it? That's it? Like 2 million people do the over 2 million people do the triathlon every year. So when you finish it, what do you get to say? I did it. Cool. If you climb Mount Everest, you're one of 4,000 people. What's cooler? Hey, I did a triathlon the other day. Oh, cool. Or I climbed Mount Everest. I scaled it. I did it. I completed it. My name's in the record books. One of 4,000. Period. Not one of 2 million annually. It's all about the challenge. When Tim McGraw was dying, he wanted to go Rocky Mountain climbing, not run a triathlon. That's a life achievement there.
Yeah. It's a little different when you're dying. Mount Everest is dangerous, Cam. It's dangerous. And 2019, just from January to May, 12 people died. 12. That's a lot for a short amount of time.
12 people probably died driving a car, too.
That's a lot of people dying just to go on Mount Everest.
I would imagine 12 people in the world died from playing golf during that time as well, from heat exhaustion.
We think about, yes, the Ironman
triathlon. Sounds actually really low.
The Ironman triathlon, it's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot. But you got to think about Mount Everest. You got to think about the conditions, the cold weather. It's like negative 35 degrees. It's in the negatives up there. You're going to freeze your ass off. You're going to freeze your ass off.
Hoodie weather.
You're going to probably, I mean, think about all the dangers, an avalanche just falling, freezing it. There's
sure.
So many different elements there. I'm not going to die doing this.
Oh, you're not?
No.
You think you can go on a 2.4-mile swim right now and not die?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I do. Yeah.
You think you ride 112 miles on a bike right after that and not
die? Might take a while, but yeah.
Run 26 miles after that?
Yeah. It might take a while, but yeah.
You might die, though.
It might take a while, but yeah.
You might die.
There's a decent chance you're going to die in Mount Everest.
Not decent.
Yeah, there's a decent.
There's
only much
been three,
more likely.
There have only been 300 people likely, in Cam. The history of Mount Everest die, according to my Google search. 300 people have died. That's not that many.
How many people have actually died from an Iron Man triathlon, huh?
It's hard to keep up because over 2.5 million people do it every year, so it's hard to do. I'd imagine, I could probably find over 300 people that have had heart attacks and
you
died.
You act like it's such a no accomplishment whatsoever to do this. What are you accomplishing getting to the top of Mount Everest?
Imagine the pictures, bro. Imagine how many Instagram likes you would get. Someone takes a picture of you snatched at the top of the world. Just climb Mount Everest. Your hands up. Imagine you doing your little goofy-ass TikTok dance up there.
Yeah, I'd like to see you TikTok dance while you're frozen, exhausted.
Saying you're one of 4,000 is pretty cool. That's pretty cool. You're going to try to downplay
that? It's not that cool. The height to get there? My goodness. Could you imagine?
Just for
a little clout? For a little Instagram post? I'm doing this because I know that I am... physically, the top of my game.
Okay.
The top of my game.
So,
the top of a lot of people's game. Ahead of a lot of people physically.
Hold on. First of all, you're claiming you basically just sat here and said you could go do this in one day. You just said you could go do it. So how special is it really? If you think you could just now.
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say it's not special if you're claiming who you just said, I'm in pretty good shape. Not great shape or anything. You wouldn't think that you're like in elite shape now. You think you could go do it. I don't think I could go do Mount Everest right now. I'd have to train. However, Cam, here's the point I just want to drive home. 300 people have died climbing Mount Everest. Right? It's so dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
There were 27 deaths in triathlon events in 2019 just alone. 27 in 1 year. 1 year. Seems like it's just as dangerous to me with no payoff. Except chafed nipples.
What are you, Andy Bernard?
Shoes, and a real crick in your back from all the bike riding.
Yeah,
oh
but you're
God.
But you're just going to be happy and free
and not sore whatsoever.
Sliding down Mount Everest.
You're going to be equally exhausted.
Think about that.
Hike
up and then have to come all the way back down. Just imagine that for one second. You get to the top, you feel accomplished, and then you have to come all the way back down.
Please note, I've never said it would be easy. It'd be really, really tough. You would be hurt. You would be exhausted. But you know what? You could say
frozen.
I'm 4,001 climbing Mount Everest, not one of 2.5 million.
And is this Ironman triathlon? I kind of get to do it at my own pace, correct?
If you want to finish dead last and make everyone mad at you.
I mean... still accomplishing it, still doing it. Better than going up and freezing again my ass off for what? For what? For an Instagram picture.
And to say you're one of 4,000.
Well, I get to say I'm one of whatever it was. The top of the physical shape. The biggest accomplishment
when it comes to doing a triathlon,
maybe.
If you posted your Instagram picture, people are like, oh, look at this guy. I got a CrossFit tryhard here. Dislike, unfollow. What a loser.
What are they going to say about you?
Wow. Wow. I've always wanted to do that. Wow. No one grows up wanting to be a triathlon guy. We all grow up at least somewhat wanting to climb Mount Everest, right? It piques your interest at some point of your life. No one, I have never thought, I want to run a triathlon. Never. I have thought, yeah, it'd be kind of cool to do Mount Everest. Either way, I digress.
What? You got something to say over
no,
there?
No, we need a judging
yeah,
here.
Yeah, we do need a judging. Out of time. Just go ahead and end it. Think of something different to play. What could you do on a Thursday?
Yeah, I got to give the point to John here.
Maybe trivia part two. Just do another kind of different trivia. Maybe. See, I don't know. It's tough.
In your heart, did you actually feel like you won that?
No.
Okay. Just checking. Okay. Just checking.
It's tough when to... Well, when you get screwed so many times, especially just even this week with trivia, it's tough to get mentally prepared and to actually, when you feel like you have no shot at winning, you're not going to give it your best.
That's fine. I appreciate your honesty, but I also appreciate you saying that you didn't feel like you won.
It's almost like he could have picked either of those options during the break.
The NFL is back, and FanDuel Sportsbook is wanting to give you the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. And Thursday night is a great opportunity to give it a try. We like Christian McCaffrey to score a first-half touchdown. We like the Panthers to win. I kind of like Brandon Cooks to get in the end zone, but maybe not. It's hard to bet on Brandon Cooks at this point.
David Johnson, over 16.5 receiving yards.
There you go. David Johnson, over 16.5 receiving yards. We gave you three plays right there. That's all you need to be eligible for the same-game bet parlay. If you hit, you keep the cash. If you lose... FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. All you got to do is put in the same game parlay with three legs or more. We gave it to you. McCaffrey, first half touchdown. David Johnson, over 16 receiving yards. And the Panthers to win. There's no feel like nailing a same game parlay. I feel it, Cam. We're going to do it tonight.
We got it.
And if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, you can claim your 3-1 odds on either team to win the Monday Night Football game when Philadelphia goes into Dallas. And as always, sign up with the promo code TALKSPORTS and get your first bet risk-free. If you win, keep the cash. If you lose, you get up to $1,000 if that's what you bet. Insight credit, that's promo code TALKSPORTS. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Last call on the program tomorrow is Friday. We'll be at the Axe House up in Pigeon Forge for a double remote from 12 to 6. Come by and see us right there on the main drag in the Pigeon Forge Factory Outlet Mall. We're having a tailgate party all day Saturday morning featuring 50 cent wings, $2 domestic drafts, and $11 12-inch two-topping pizzas all day. Come by and see us tomorrow if you're up in the Pigeon Forge area. Let's play some Pump the Brakes. Let's keep it moving. Draven, you said you had a story about a quarterback?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Did you lose it? Did you forget it? Do you have to, like, find it?
No.
Forget it. It was just Lamar Jackson. No.
Yeah, I'll roll on this.
Why you got to ruin it?
How did you forget it?
Respect the game.
Well, what'd you have to do? Like, I asked if you had a story. You had to, like, actually go find the tweet. Did you forget what he had said?
I was going to use the direct quote.
Right,
the
but we only
quote.
Have 3 minutes left of the show.
I can't believe you would disrespect the game like
well,
that.
Well, the update is Lamar Jackson said he wasn't at practice today because he hurt his hip doing his flip into the end zone. And I wondered if he was being serious or if he was trolling because everyone said it was bad. I really hope he's just trolling because if he hurt himself diving into the end zone like that.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed. Yikes. I mean, did you see the way Matt Ryan dived in the end zone? He's fine.
Which, by the way, if like we're going to like say like, hey, we're getting rid of taunting. I mean, like, is there any more taunting than Lamar Jackson doing a somersault into the end zone?
It's also really stupid because there's more time on the clock. If that was like a walk-off touchdown for the win, a little different, but...
He was just feeling himself. The comeback was complete. But, yeah, if they lose and, like, you know, you had guys out there somersault. If they play in the playoffs, the Chiefs are going to
somersault
put it
everywhere.
They'll eat
the Chiefs
it
are going to put it on them.
Yeah.
If they play in the playoffs.
Yep.
Cam, you got a story?
I do. Vice president of a South American country does this.
There's no telling.
Pop your brain!
There's no telling.
There is no telling. Suriname. I don't know
Who?
If you know that country. Suriname, the country. It's Suriname. Small country. South America.
South America?
Well, their vice president, who's 60 years old,
picked himself to play for the pro soccer team he owns.
That's pretty cool. It's not as cool as him putting his big fat son out there like that one guy did.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, what was that, Japan or?
I was going to say one of the Asian countries. I wasn't going to guess.
I thought it was
South Korea. But,
oh, I think South Korea's right.
But I don't know. But yeah, he was the right. You know, the owner of the team. He was like, yep, put my big fat son out there playing and give him the ball too. I need an update on that story.
Does anybody have
an update on the big fat Asian kid? Question.
He even gave himself the captain's armband for the last 16 matches. Oh,
I mean, he is the captain if he owns the team, or he's the whole captain of the country.
We got Jackie Moon over here.
He only played
a lot to that team too.
A lot of heart.
He only played 54 minutes before subbing himself out, and the team was down 3-0 at that point.
Like, what do you say if you're another guy on the team? You can't.
In the CONCACAF League. And, yeah, he basically subbed himself in and was, yeah, just out there trying to play some soccer.
Was he any good?
No, the man's 60 years old.
Like, when Putin does this in Russia, they kind of have to let him score and they can't hit him. They let him go out there and play in, like, those all-star games and let him score. I need an update on the Asian soccer son.
This guy looks exhausted. I'm watching a little like clip, and he just looks like he's so tired.
You think he did better or worse than the 60-year-old who tried out for the G League team?
Probably worse. Ooh. I think worse.
Yeah.
This guy is just—he's either just walking or standing around every time in this clip.
Shout out to these guys though. Never giving up on the dream, huh?
He apparently also, after the match, went into the opponent dressing room and handed out lots of cash.
For taking it easy on him or what?
I don't know, because they lost 6-0.
Either way, Russell Smith, the Bear, the drive up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.